from Kentucky, currently in Pennsylvania, and almost have to have an interpreter to preach up there, Brother Hurst. But it is good to be back at Kansas State Holiness Association, McPherson, Kansas. 132 years. That's wonderful. That's a testimony of the grace and power of God. How many was here that first camp meeting? Brother and Sister Hurst back there, I don't think they were, but he was raising his hand trying to raise hers, but maybe their ancestors were here. Did you all start in Wichita? Is that where? Wichita is where the camp started. 132 years later, still going. That blessed me just to see the sign. Amen. I'm glad, and a lot of the message this afternoon is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord God who changes not, and the God of 132 years ago is the God of today. Praise His holy name forever. It is good to be here with you fine folks. I've been looking forward to this and trusting God to help in a special way. Thank God for a camp meeting that is still going on here and that people still want to come to. And we're glad you're here and trust others will be coming in throughout the camp. It's good to be with Brother and Sister Hurst. Appreciate their leadership here and what God is doing. So good to be with Brother Joe Smith, Sister Smith. We were at a camp meeting in our area in Pennsylvania where Brother Smith was the evangelist just 2 weeks ago. And we're in for a treat this week. God used him in a mighty way up there. And I believe God's going to use him again in these Bible classes throughout the week. And it's good to be with John and Lori Whitaker. We appreciate them. I enjoyed the song this morning. That was a great song they just sang. Hold on, child of God. Help is on the way. And I appreciate Brother and Sister Whitaker and their spirit and their talent they use for the glory of God. And Brother John's brother Barry's a good friend of mine. And I think John is older than Barry, aren't you? Brother John would be a lot older than me because I think I'm younger than Barry. And Monica, good friends with my wife. And went to school with Sister Lori's brother Matt at UBC. And Matt Price. And so we appreciate them. And so good to be here with the Spiveys. I have a picture of me and Brother Spivey. I don't know if you've seen this picture, Brother Spivey. But it was at the ICHA youth camp several years ago at the volleyball court. And there's the net there. And the photographer took a picture. As Brother Spivey and I, we were against each other. We were competing. This week, we're laborers together. But at the youth camp, we were not laborers together. We were competing. And we were both jumping up to spike the ball. He was on one side, I was on the other. And we were both probably 3 feet off the ground. Our hands, or it might have been 3 inches. Hands up in the air. I don't remember which side of the net the ball fell on, Brother Spivey. You probably got the point. But anyway, I look at that picture and think, wow, it was good to be young once upon a time. But I'm looking forward to the ministry of Brother Spivey. He taught the youth classes here for many years. And one year at least, my kids were here as teenagers. And they were very impressed. And my kids have confidence in Brother Spivey. And if my kids have confidence in Brother Spivey, that says a lot to me, that I have good reason to have confidence in Brother and Sister Spivey. And we are looking forward to their ministry this week. And I do believe help is on the way. And God has great things in store for His people. Praise His holy name. And apologize for being late. Some of us were late. But thank God the cooks were not late. I heard one evangelist say one time that the cook works the hardest at a camp meeting. And it probably is true. I wouldn't know by experience, but I believe that. And so God bless the cooks. And God bless all the workers and all those that are here. And God knows just what we need. And He's able to give us that. I would invite you to turn with me this afternoon to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And would you please stand with me for the reading of the Word, just reading a few verses. And if anyone's sitting close to you, why don't you shake their hand, make sure they're awake. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. We're only reading the first four verses. Isaiah had a threefold vision here, a vision of God, a vision of himself, and a vision of people. And but I just this morning or this afternoon want to talk about the vision, the first part of the vision he had of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Father, we thank you for your word this afternoon. We pray you bless your word to our hearts today and continue to help in this camp meeting. We will give you all the glory, for you are worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, Isaiah has a threefold vision here in chapter 6. We only read the first part of that vision. But I would like to look at that first part of the vision. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, and we all need a vision. Amen. And may the Lord touch our spiritual vision this week and help us to, whenever we leave here, and hopefully it'll be Sunday night. Hopefully no one leaves early, but if you do, whenever we leave here, may God help us to depart with a better spiritual vision than we've ever had before. A.W. Tozer said that no people ever rise above their religion, and no religion ever rises above its concept of God or his understanding of God. And God is our Heavenly Father. God has no grandchildren. He's not a grandfather in the sky. He's not a Santa Claus in the sky. He's a holy God. He's a powerful God. And Isaiah saw a vision of God here. And we want to look at that a little bit this afternoon. And first of all, I want to look at the occasion, when Isaiah had this vision. And it says here in verse 1, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. It was during a time of transition. It was during a time of trouble. It was during a time of national tragedy. And for Isaiah, personal tragedy. For he was a close friend and advisor, prophet of God to the king. We read there in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah was a king, was a priest or prophet during the reign of certain kings, and Uzziah was one of those. And history tells us they had a close relationship, and it was during a time of trouble that Isaiah had this vision. And I thought of our holiness movement today. We've had a lot of transition in the conservative holiness movement in the last few years. Many of our Bible colleges have had changes in administration. A lot of the presidents that had been at our Bible schools were there for many years and resigned and retired. And we have a younger group, a new group, and a good group. Thank God for our presidents of our conservative holiness Bible colleges. And even in our denominations, we've had many changes in leadership as the leaders have gotten older and retired and so forth, and others are being raised up. And we see this is just natural in life. Change is a part of life, and it happens in our churches. But to be honest with you, as a pastor, change scares me, and I don't like it, but it seems to be a big part of my life and a big part of life. Change and transition. And in our churches, thank God for the old saints of God that have stood by the stuff over the years, that have sacrificed and done things behind the scenes that no one knows anything about till they die, and then they realize, well, who's going to take care of this? Well, so-and-so always took care of it and didn't even know who took care of it, but it was always taken care of. It was always taken care of. And so they paid the bills, they sacrificed, they prayed. They prayed, they preached, and they did all this. And as a pastor, it kind of scares me, it really does, to see that generation going on to be with the Lord. And thank God That's what they lived for, and they're in a better place. But I guess the human part of me and maybe the selfish part of me said, Lord, we need them. We need them. And it was during a time like this that Isaiah had this vision, a time of transition and a time of trouble, a time of tragedy. And think of 132 years. And as Brother Hurst was sharing, Brother and Sister Goodwin, they were here for many years and aren't here this year and aren't able to be here. And we see these things happening in our churches, in our Bible schools, in our denominations, and we see new leaders being raised up. And again, it scares me, but thank God Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I want to say to you this afternoon that the best years of the Kansas State Holiness Association does not have to be 100 years ago. Thank God for 132 years ago. Thank God for some of those first camps. I'd love to hear about it. My family, my wife's family, they go to a camp in Ramsey, Indiana every year. They live in that area. And they even have a booklet of all the camps and all the past presidents. And it's similar in age to this camp. I remember looking through it. I have a copy of it. They have the old camp meeting announcements from yesterday. And then I believe it was the year 1925, John and Bona Fleming were the evangelists at that camp meeting. And a lot of those great men of yesterday. But the best years of our denominations, associations, our camp meetings, our Bible schools do not have to be behind us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Isaiah had this vision at a very critical time, a time of trouble, time of transition and national tragedy and personal tragedy. And he saw a vision of God. He saw a vision of God's presence, God's power, and God's purity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He said he saw the Lord. You know, I hope we leave from this meeting talking about, wasn't that morning service wonderful, that afternoon service, that evening, wasn't that message good, weren't those songs, so wasn't the food good? You know, the fellowship, talking about the good things that took place. But most of all, I hope we leave here talking about how good God is. How, you know, it wasn't about the president of the camp. It wasn't about the evangelist or the Bible teacher, the song evangelist or anyone else. But God came. And in the Kansas State Holiness Association 2019, and we could go away from here Sunday night talking about, wasn't it good? You know, I don't know how many times Isaiah had been to the temple before, but he had never had an experience like this. I hope that he had more experiences like this. Maybe not at that level, but thank God for the experiences we've had of being saved and being sanctified. I believe we all need to have that experience. That's what it's going to take to get us to heaven. Amen. But you know, it's more than just about an experience that took place 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 20 years ago or even last year. We need an up-to-date relationship, a daily walk with God. And from time to time, we need a fresh vision. And maybe you've read Isaiah 6 and you had an experience with God where you saw God one time. And as a result, you saw yourself. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that, how Isaiah saw himself. But he did. And he saw a lost world as he had never seen it before. He saw himself as he had never seen it before. But it all started with a vision of God, high and lifted up in His presence, in His power, in His purity. And I pray this week that God will help us, each and every one, to see God in that same way. Praise the Lord. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord God, I change not." Thank God for our history. I love it. I love the holiness movement. I love our heritage. My grandfather was a holiness preacher. My great-grandfather was a preacher. And they got saved out of the tobacco fields of Kentucky. And thank God for that. Thank God for our heritage. But it's more than about our heritage. It's about who God is today. Thank the Lord. The God of yesterday is not the God of yesterday only. He's the God of today, and He's the God of tomorrow. Again, our best days do not have to be behind us because He's the same And Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." He's the same God today. Praise his holy name. Well, Isaiah went through a hard time when King Uzziah died. And we go through hard times, don't we? We go through situations, and life can be tough. And we go through transitions. Sometimes we don't hardly know how to deal with it. But Isaiah did the right thing. He went to church. He went to camp meeting. He went to revival. And he saw God high and lifted up. You know, I think of someone else who had trouble, who was not an Israelite, but was a Babylonian. Matter of fact, he's a Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. And we read about him there in the book of Daniel. In chapter 2 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He had a dream of this, well, he forgot what it was he dreamed. And he was troubled about it. He couldn't remember all the details of it, but it troubled him, and he woke up troubled. And well, if the king's troubled, everybody's troubled. It's kind of like the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if King Nebuchadnezzar is not happy, nobody's going to be happy. Because this man, he was an extremist. There was no middle ground with Nebuchadnezzar. You were either his best friend or his worst enemy. And whoever could help him with this dream was going to be promoted. But if they couldn't help him, they were going to be history. He was going to have them killed. And so he has this dream, and he can't remember, and he's troubled. He's greatly troubled, and he calls all the wise men and magicians together, and they come together, and they say, "King, tell us what you dreamed. We'll interpret it." He said, "No, I want to know if you're for real or not, so you tell me what I dreamed." They said, "That's impossible. No one can do that." And so, well, he said, "Your houses are going to be made dunghills." And in Kentucky, that was outhouses, I think. "Your house is going to be an outhouse." And so... That's what he was getting ready to do. And Daniel and his three friends that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they were concerned because they were young students in this school of the wise men, and so it was going to be their lives too. So Daniel called a prayer meeting, called on his three friends. That's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. That's a good chance God will help our vision of Him if we'll spend more time with Him. And Isaiah called, or Daniel called this prayer meeting, and they begin to pray and ask God for help. And it says here in Daniel chapter 2 and in verse 19, it was during one of these, or after one of these prayer meetings, in verse 19, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings." And I don't think it's twisting the Scriptures to say He removeth presidents and setteth up presidents, both nationally and of our schools and of our camps. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Praise the Lord. And so they called Daniel, and Daniel tells them he has the answer. God has given him the answer. And Arioch, one of the captains there, he quickly gets Daniel to the king. And in Daniel chapter 2, the king asks, "Daniel, are you able to help me here? Are you able to tell me my dream and the interpretation thereof?" In verse 27 of Daniel chapter 2, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." No one could help the king. Daniel was proving a point in verse 27. Babylon was the world empire. King Nebuchadnezzar was the great king, but they couldn't get any help there. Their best and brightest could not help. And you know, there's times in our country as a nation when there's not a Democrat or Republican on either side of the aisle that has the answer. Neither the independents or moderates, either one. And you know, as a nation, And I'm not being political today. I'm just, I know the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And our presidential elections are so important, I believe. And our last presidential election, I believe our country was on the edge of a precipice, getting ready to jump off, getting ready to take the plunge. And if a certain person had been elected, who most thought would be elected, it was going to be bad. It was going to be very bad. I believe we are dealing with the soul of our nation here. And we have another presidential election coming up in the next year. And may God help us. And we were on the edge of a cliff. It looked like it was almost all over. And I'll say I did not vote for Donald Trump in the primary election. But I believe he's been one of the best presidents of my lifetime. He has kept more campaign promises than any president I ever remember. Why are you saying that? I'm saying that because I thank God. I thank God it's not about the Democrats or Republicans. It's not about who's currently holding the office. But here Daniel reminded the folks there that God removeth kings and God setteth up kings. God's in charge. And Daniel wanted to prove a point in verse 27. The best of Babylon did not have the answers. But I love what Daniel said in verse 28. But there is a God in heaven. Praise the Lord. I believe God wants me to tell you that today, remind you of that today. That's something we all know, but we need to be reminded of that during these times of transition when we are concerned about our movement and we are concerned about our churches and we are concerned, rightfully so, we should be concerned. We should be praying for our camp meetings and our denominations and our Bible schools. But during these times of transition, during these times of trouble, during these times it seems like are tragic, there is a God in heaven. Praise the Lord. There's still a God in heaven that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah found out that still heard and answered prayer back in that day. And in 2019, he still hears and answers prayer. There is a God in heaven, Nebuchadnezzar. Praise the Lord. That revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be. Thank the Lord. And so during these times, these negative times, you know, a lot of the scriptures we think about in the last days, a lot of the prophecies of the last days seem to be negative. And we talk about that, and it's biblical that there's perilous times. That's what the biblical record tells us, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, a falling away. And we know that the love of many shall wax cold, iniquity shall abound, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, and we know all that. And I don't know how long things are going to go on down here. You know, we could have that discussion about the rapture. Whether you're pre-trib or post-trib, or like I heard B.J. Walker say, he was a pan-trib. Said he believed it all pan out. And, you know, I think it will. I think it'll all pan out. I don't know how long we're going to be down here. I don't know how bad it's going to get before we leave here. But I believe that no matter how long that is or how bad that is, there is still a God in heaven. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may God touch our eyes and help us to have the right vision of God in His presence, in His power, in His purity. May the Lord help us to see what we need to see and to be what we need to be and to do what we need to do and to remember that little chorus that whatever life may bring, God is enough. Praise the Lord forever. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe God would want me to remind you this afternoon that God is fine. God's doing fine. I believe it was Oswald Chambers who said, God never panics. I believe that. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, wrote, the word necessary is wholly foreign to God. Since he is the being supreme over all, it follows that God cannot be elevated. Nothing is above him, nothing beyond him. Any motion in his direction is elevation for the creature. Away from him, descent. He holds his position out of himself by leave of none. As no one can promote him, so no one can degrade him. Tozer went on to write, so were every man on earth to become atheist, it could not affect God in any way. He is what he is in himself without regard to any other. To believe in him adds nothing to his perfections. To doubt him takes nothing away. I say amen, Brother Tozer. Hallelujah. He is the same from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible tells us he is God, and thy throne, O Lord, is forever. Praise his holy name. Sometimes even good conservative holiness people just need reminded of that. Amen. And I like Isaiah here. You know, he had a vision. We look at when he had it and what he saw or who he saw. He saw the Lord and what was the result? There were great results of Isaiah's vision. You know, we have 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. One of the greatest books. What a great prophet. We think of Isaiah as one of the greatest of prophets. I think it's because of this vision. You know, we could have still had 66 chapters, but I don't think they would have had the impact they had without this vision that he had in chapter 6. Isaiah was a good preacher before, but I believe he became an even greater preacher after this. And so Isaiah reminds us of who God is. You know, when God gave Moses a job to go down to Egypt to deliver the Hebrews out, Moses was concerned and Moses did not feel qualified. And that's good. We need God. We need to depend upon God. But God reminded Moses, Moses, it's not about you. Moses, it's not about who you are. It's about who I am. And this camp is not about the president or the evangelists or Bible teachers or singers. It's about God. It's about God, and we as God's people need to be reminded. And I love what Isaiah wrote in chapter 40 and verses 28 through 31. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Amen. My grandfather was a loud preacher. He didn't need one of these things. He had a built-in PA system. I don't know if anyone here knew my grandfather or not, but Brother John heard him many years ago. But he was loud, and people tell him, Brother King, you don't have to be so loud. God's not deaf. He said, no, but he's not nervous either. And he kept shouting and praising God. And he said, you think I'm a loud preacher now? Wait till I hit the home plate in heaven. And June 26, 1987, he hit the home plate in heaven. And I'm sure he's shouting on the hills of glory right now and has been for a long time. Amen. But God's not nervous, folks. Amen. God is doing fine. He's never been better. God is just as good right now as he was when he said, let there be light. Praise God. That's who he is. And he faints not. Isaiah reminds us that he fainteth not, neither is weary. God is not tired. God's energy is fine. Praise God. His strength is fine. His power is great. Thank God. Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Not only is God fine, he can help us to be fine. That's what he says in verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Thank God, child of God. Hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. If you're tired in the battle this morning, hold on. He who has all power can give you a little power to help you keep going. Amen. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We're talking about who God is this afternoon. Amen. That's who it's about. And if we wait on him, Isaiah said he can renew our strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. God can help every one of us. He has plenty of grace. And may the Lord open our eyes like he did Elisha's servant. You know, and Elisha, all he could see was the enemy. Elisha laid his hands on his servant's eyes, said, Lord, open his eyes. And I pray God this week will open our eyes and help us to see in 2019 that there's more with us than be with them. We are on the winning side, even on the afternoon. Hallelujah, forevermore. One more passage of Scripture I'd like to close with in Revelation, the last book. You know, I love the fact that Isaiah saw this vision and the seraphims were crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And then that was way back there in the Old Testament. And here in the New Testament, John gets a vision. I'm not going to read about that one, but they were crying out the same thing. They were still crying, "Holy, holy, holy." He's eternally holy this afternoon. But I love this in Isaiah, or in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." And I want to tell you, he's still sitting. This is Revelation. Isaiah saw him way back there, high and lifted up on his throne. In Revelation, he's still on his throne. No one voted him on. No one can vote him off. Thank God. In verse 8, "When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy.'" I think we could join in that song this morning. He is worthy, isn't he? "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne." Again, we're still talking about the throne, and God's on the throne. "And these angels are gathered about the throne, and the beasts and elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb.'" I say hallelujah. Praise God. Worthy is the Lamb. God is still on the throne this afternoon. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." May the Lord give us a fresh vision of who God is this afternoon. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I say, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power.'" Here it is again. "Be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And we read in the Bible that one of these days every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hold on a little longer, child of God. Help is on the way. God has good things in store for us. Our best days can be ahead of us. Thank the Lord. Let's all stand. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Father, we thank you for your presence today. Thank you for your blessings upon us. We thank you for who you are, Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not tired. You have everything we need and more. You have plenteous of grace, oh God. And we just pray now that you would bless us as we go from here. Lord, give strength and grace and power and help to each and every one of us. Help every one of us that have responsibilities this week to fulfill those as God would have us to. And when it's all said and done, may you receive all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for it all. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You're dismissed.